Missouri Synod.
Missouri Synod?
Yeah.
Yes. So I saw that.
Yeah, I'm a traveling street preacher, and my wife just rolled into town and hooking up with my brother here. And this is Kevin.
Craig?
Hello, Craig.
Yep, I'm James. Nice to meet you. And so I travel the country, and that's our house. And we travel all over and street preach. I was just street preaching in the Dells and at outside a Roman Catholic church. Talk about a false prophet.
Ah,
let's talk about the Pope.
You mean the Illuminati house of shame.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think you have the right idea when it comes to... Oh, I can't sit there.
Yes, I have three of them.
Oh, my. I think you have the right idea when you talk about churchianity being false. They absolutely are. I don't know of a church system in a building that is teaching the full counsel of God's word and has rejected the ways of the world and the pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter that the Pope invented. I don't know of a church system.
I love this guy. See, most people don't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Christmas was created to bring in
the pagans,
the Celts and others.
Yep.
For the winter solstice.
Amen.
And most people who are aligned with Christianity at a young age never learn that because they keep their lives in a small little box.
Yeah.
And it's a control box. It's controlled by the government.
It is. The government controls the churches, and then you have things like the Pope controlling the people, and then you have the evangelical system. That is, we were just talking about that. The evangelical system is not very far from the false ways of... They came out of the Roman Catholics, and they didn't come far enough because they still keep a lot of their false ways, like Christmas, like Easter. And so what we teach people... Here, I'll give you a gospel card. We teach people the biblical gospel, the path to eternal life, is not just belief in Jesus Christ. That's just the start to place your faith in Christ. The Bible calls us to place our faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. And then the Bible says something that very few people want to hear about. The Bible says repent, which means change your mind, change your ways. We had to come out of the world. We've come out of man-made religion. We had to see the sin of our ways, see the sin of the culture, see the sin of man-made religion. And we had to say, Lord, we have our faith in You. We believe in You. You came to show us the way out. We have to change our mind from that and then change our ways. And when God sees a willing vessel, I'm preaching the gospel to you. When God sees a willing vessel, He says, that person placed their faith in My Son. That person's willing to repent and follow. The Bible says in Acts 5, God gives the Holy Spirit to them who obey Him. He doesn't give the Holy Spirit if you want to live your own life, if you want to live churchianity life, if you want to follow the Pope. He doesn't give you the Holy Spirit. You're born again by the Spirit of God. The fruit that you're born again, God sends the Holy Spirit. The fruit is that you're born again is not just a belief in Jesus, living your own way. Even if you've come out of the churchianity system, maybe you've come out of, people have come out of the world and they say, I used to be a drug addict or a drunk and I don't do that no more. The fruit that you're born again is the Holy Spirit in you. Where is He going to take you? To the Word. And the Word of God becomes your life. Christ is the Word made flesh. And the Word of God becomes your life. And then you follow Christ in holiness, in obedience, seeking His ways, which is coming out of the culture, how you act, talk, look, dress, live, how you spend your money, who you associate with, all comes under this new covenant. So you rebel against Satan's covenant. We're all born into Satan's kingdom.
We are all born into Satan as soon as we are born.
Yeah, so we're born into Satan's kingdom, and we have to repent from his kingdom, this culture, and we have to rebel and join the kingdom of God through Christ. And then holiness and obedience is the fruit that we are of Him. We're striving in all of His ways, reading the scriptures, conforming our life, coming out of the culture. Everything about our life changes. And then the last part of the gospel, you don't just have the guarantee of eternal life today, no matter how you live tomorrow or the next day. You have to endure. Every day, you got to walk in that faith. The great command, Matthew 22, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Mark adds strength to that too. That's a big order. To love God with all that you are. That means you lose your life, Matthew 10, and you surrender it to Jesus Christ and you follow Him and everything else, your desires, your hobbies, your passions, your family, your church body if you had one. I had to lose my career. I lost my family. He lost his career, lost his family. We have to lose all of that to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Does all that make sense?
I've lost my family twice.
Really? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so... That's what I traveled to preach.
The first one was to my wife dying.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And second one, well, she succumbed to drugs and alcohol. Mm. I wasn't willing to put up with it.
Very popular today.
Yeah. I mean, she got hooked, and I spent the last 7 years of our relationship, having to continuously patch up this or repair that or fix this or fix that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking just physical repairs. I'm talking about emotional repairs with the kids and the family and this, that, and the other. And after a while, it became
drugs and alcohol destroy your life,
Well, it's Satan's tools.
Yeah, they are. They are. Pharmakia. Mm-hmm. Sorcery.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rampant today, and it's going to get worse. And
man's got to return to nature.
Yeah.
But he's already done so much damage that it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I would disagree with man's got to return to nature. What I would think is we have to return to God's order, and it can never go back to the Garden of Eden. Not now. One day God's going to return it to the Garden of Eden. But that's when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth in his kingdom, when we already endure and make it to that. But it'll never be that way on earth again. The world is headed for Satan's wrath and Satan's kingdom to come to its pinnacle.
We're getting closer every day.
Of what?
Of annihilation?
Yeah, yeah. The tribulation's coming. The great tribulation's coming. We were just talking about COVID. COVID was a trial run.
That was just a slap on the wrist to see what he has to really do.
Exactly. That's just a trial run to see the temperature of the culture. He saw he could only do it for a while, and even the liberal people started rebelling, going, I'm tired of this mask. He saw it's not quite ready. But you know what it was? It's a training ground for the ones this big. Because now they got a taste of it, and as they grow them up, they're used to all those types of things. They're getting them used to vaccinations. They're getting them used to plexiglass. They're getting them used to regulations. And by the time they're 20 or 30, in 10 or 15, 20 years, they'll already be used to it. It's hard for them to train. He's younger, but it's hard for him to train you and I to do those things. We would go, wait a minute. But once you, Hitler said, give me a youth from his birth to 18, and I own him. They'll be goose stepping and Adolf Hitler amen in him, you know. Hail the Reich, the First Reich. Hail.
But you got to remember, hate is easily communicable to anybody.
Oh yeah, it is. Absolutely.
All it takes is one bad thought.
Yeah.
Or one bad train of thought.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we are looking at a current resurgence of Nazism here in America. And fascism, far as the politicians.
That's interesting you brought that up. I just saw a news blurb when I was studying to do an article. I encourage you to go to don'tperish.com if you go online. I got lots of articles to help you and encourage you to follow Christ. I just saw a news blurb where they just arrested a bunch of fascist Nazi guys that were going to go to a pride parade and crash it with riot gear. And you see, there's this another thing that's in America, nationalism. Now,
but it's being flown in the wrong popularity.
Right, but it's all different flavors. So you've got the Nazis, and then you've got nationalism, but then there's another dangerous, from my aspect, there's another thing that's even more dangerous. You have Christian nationalism. You have these so-called churches and pastors that say they're Christians. They're not. They're part of the world carnal system. And they're merging patriotism. And these are the same men. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you sound like you've studied some history. I don't know if you know this, but America was founded not on biblical principles. It had some principles. It was founded on, as a republic, but it was founded on war and killing. We went to war, America did, and killed other people for a 3% tax over England. Does that sound like something Jesus would do?
No.
So America was founded by George Washington and a bunch of pagans.
Any country automatically signifies Satan as soon as they say for God and country. Because God, does he not say, thou shalt not kill? It doesn't say, oh, when you got a whole bunch of bad guys lined up, then it's okay to kill. No, he doesn't say that. He says, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
There's no extension of law. There's no extension of words to it. It's a flat statement.
Yeah.
That's what made me fall out. Yeah. Of the Republican ways.
Yeah, the America is...
They will always throw God and country together.
America, no doubt, is an idolatrous, false, past Christian nation, and it's willing to fight and kill for its individual rights. And people always say this, ready?
You mean individual domination?
Well, yeah, their individual rights as a nation. But I always throw this at people. I got these people that say to me, well, if you're not willing to fight as a Christian for our rights in America, meaning they mean take a gun and shoot people and kill, they say, then you're not going to be able to preach the gospel anymore because they're going to outlaw it and they're going to silence it. And I always ask them, ready? Two things. I said, one, how long has America had freedom to preach the gospel? How old is America?
get-go.
250 years, over 250 years, the denominations have been here, and there's been freedom to go out and preach, supposedly, the biblical gospel, which none of them do anyway. And look at what America's become. America's become an abortionist, perverted, corrupt, pornography, wicked, violent, pagan nation. And it's not God bless America. God's wrath is coming for America and the world. It's coming. Okay? So I ask him that. I go, you've had freedom in America for 250 years. Your denominations have taken it into the tank of morality. Then I ask him this question. When the New Testament body was born in the first century, it was born in Israel under cruel Rome. Then Paul, Apostle Paul, my brother, Apostle Paul, took it to Rome. And did they have the freedom to spread the gospel in Rome in the first century? They used to dip Christians in tar and light them as lamps. And the gospel went out. The gospel
went by the thousands.
The gospel went out and would not be stopped because men lived it. They preached the biblical gospel. They didn't do churchianity. They weren't part of the culture. So don't tell me, you false teaching men, don't tell me that I need freedom and laws for the gospel to go out. We need the gospel to be preached, whether they arrest me, kill me, whatever. The gospel's going to go out. Now, we are in the last days, and they are going to turn the Bible into hate speech. They're already doing it. They are going to try to stop free speech. They're already trying to do that. Almost everywhere I go, when I stand on a public sidewalk, I got people telling me, you can't do that. And I go, what do you mean? They go, you can't be saying that stuff. That's offensive to people. What, preaching Christ crucified in the biblical gospel? People don't like that. They don't like that.
They don't. So what they don't like is knowledge that he wasn't white.
Okay.
He was not a white savior. He was.
But does that like, matter?
Oh, but yes, it does in all sense of terms.
I'm not so sure that matters. You're why? Okay, let me ask a question. Ready? It's a trick question, so be careful. Ready?
Yep.
How many races are there?
There is one race.
Very good. So if there's one race, what do I care if Jesus was yellow, brown, blue? Well, not but blue. There's white. There's brown. What is there? Help
there's
me.
Yellow.
White, yellow,
tan,
red.
Brown. There's about seven different colors.
Yeah, but one race.
What? I can prove that we are all one by one simple common factor between all of us.
Okay.
How come there's only four blood types? Billions of people. How come there's only four blood types?
Well, and also science.
God wants us to learn that even though we are this color, that color, or the other color, we all are bound by our blood.
Yeah.
Blood of God.
Right. And let me just share this. If you look at the genealogy of man and you look at the genetics, I should say, not the genealogy, but it is genealogy going back, but you look at the genetics, the evolutionists can't explain the shallow gene pool. Because they say we came from monkeys and it would have been all over the world. It could have happened everywhere. The science proves that we came from. The science proves that Adam and Eve were real people. And all of us came from those people. And that's why the gene pool is shallow. It's not split all over the place. It came from two people. Same thing with language. If you study language, even the secular scientists can't explain.
How still like the Tower of Babel.
How language just popped up all of a sudden, and they go, we don't know how that happened. And then here's another one. Ready for this? They say, well, man's been around for 250,000 years. And I go, really? They go, yeah, well, we think 250,000 years, 250,000 years. And I say this. I have a question for you. What's the oldest language we can record and know about? Do you know what it is?
It would have to be either is Sakaran, which would be in the Egypt area.
Well, you're close. I was looking for a name. Sanskrit.
Sanskrit. That's
Sanskrit is the oldest language that anyone can record. You know how old it is?
Probably about 50 to 60,000 years old. Not even that old?
5,500 years.
Really?
We're talking about the time of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
They can't even go back further than that. So my question I always ask people is, and Kevin and I have talked about this, so man was fumbling around for 250,000 years, and he never talked. He just went,
and we're supposed to know what that means.
And all of a sudden, in the last 5,000 years, hey, how are you today? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, we've come to a language.
So I do believe that the earth is much younger than they say, and I believe man's been around a lot less than they say, and I think all of this is a clever ploy of Satan to deceive people. The Bible is so accurate and so true that it just keeps proving itself over and over again. So we're heading into those dark times, and what's coming back is there's going to be, and I think the Pope is going to be the false prophet, there is coming a one world religion, and he's already readying the world to all have unity with Islam, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, to all come together in one faith. The Pope is currently readying that system.
That's not going to happen for the simple fact that as soon as you get the Islamics against the Christians, they'll see that most of the Christian scriptures were stolen from theirs. I mean, we've run...
it's the other way around. Theirs was stolen from the Christian scriptures. Muhammad came along 800 years after Apostle Paul, my brother, lived. Muhammad came along well after. You see my wife wears a head covering? People say to me, oh, you guys Muslims? And I go,
no.
That's in the first century. It was actually in the Old Testament too. But that's in the first century. Muhammad came along 800 years after Apostle Paul said women should cover their head in 1 Corinthians 11. Islam is the one that's ripped off the Christian scriptures. They say they follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they say Jesus is just a prophet. They're really Antichrist. They're the religion of Antichrist because they believe that Christ did not come in the flesh. They're liars in love.
Well, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Yeah, but I also believe that God made us to where we can expand. With this, we weren't supposed to corrupt and destroy.
Yeah, I don't know what you
creation.
Mean by expand. But no, we weren't supposed to destroy it. We were to take dominion over it. So if I'm hungry, I should catch a fish, kill, and eat it. But I shouldn't pollute the lake. I would agree with that. And man has gone way too far. But going back to Islam stole the truth from the Holy Scriptures and turned it into a demonic religion. Allah is Satan. He's the Dark One, the Avenger. That's who Allah is. And Islam is a liar. And if you ever want to help an Islam person, let me help you real quick. Ask an Islam person, who's Jesus? And they'll say, according to Muhammad, he's a great prophet. And go, okay, he's a great prophet. I have a question for you. Jesus said he was the only way to the Father, and Jesus said he's the Son of God. What does Islam say? No Son of God. There's no Son of God. God has no son. There's a dilemma. Jesus can't be a great prophet. He's a liar. He said he was God. He said he was the Son of God. He said he's the only way to the Father. So they ask, the question asked Muslims, and I ask them all the time. So far they haven't pulled a knife out to beat me yet. They usually turn away and just go, as I say, is Jesus Lord and the only way, or liar? Which one?
He's the Savior.
So that proves
he sacrificed himself to be that.
That proves Islam's a lie because it says there's no Son of God and it says he's not God. And so it proves that Islam is a lie because Jesus is the truth. Islam is a lie.
That I will have to agree.
Yep. Absolutely. So that's a great way to help Islam people. So they go, and when they walk away, say, go find out who Jesus is and repent to him. That's your salvation, not Islam. And they got to walk away, and if they look into it, they'll go, he's not a great prophet. Jesus was a liar. If he's not God, and the only way. He is the Son of God. Who am I going to believe? Muhammad, who's dead in a tomb, or Jesus, who's risen? I'm going to follow Jesus.
Now, I didn't know Allah was in,
Muhammad.
Muhammad was even in a tomb.
Well, what I'm saying is he died. He's in. He's dead somewhere.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I think they know where his grave is, but he's buried. Not Jesus. The tomb's empty.
Oh, no. His tomb, Jesus' tomb, has been found. Mm-hmm. It has been proven that it was touched by something otherly out of this world.
Right, yeah. So he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that's what we encourage people to do. Don't put your hope in this world. Don't live your own way. Again, I'd encourage you, don'tperish.com, we don't take people's money. I teach people for free. We disciple people. I travel around. I support myself. Sold everything I own, retired early to go and travel and do this. I wouldn't meet you. I used to have, it's for sale right now. It's the last thing I own of this world. I have a homestead down in Missouri with a beautiful porch and a beautiful valley right off the end of a beautiful lake. But if I sit on my porch, I can't meet you. I can't come out here and tell you the good news. So somebody said to me one time not long ago, they said, how can you leave all this? You retired, you could just sit here and fish and relax. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I'm 60.
Idle hands are a devil's plaything.
Yeah. So I say, I'm 60. I said, how long do I have to live? And they go, I don't know. I said, average man lives 74 years. I got 14 years left. And then I said, I have a question. Do I not have to leave this all anyway one day? And they go, yeah, I can't take it with you. And I said, I'm just choosing to leave it early because I got to leave it all anyway. And I want to go and do my Father's bidding. So check
you
out.
Heard the call?
Check out don'tperish.com. What I would encourage you is go deep into the scriptures. If you really are born again, what I would encourage you is the Bible teaches us to come out of the world, to live different, to talk different. I didn't hear nothing bad out of you. To act different. Here's one. To dress different. This is our temple. So we dress according to God. I actually have articles on this. God showed us how to dress. Women shows women how to dress. Who we associate with. How we live. And God has an order for all of that. And the Bible says, lest we obey, we won't make it to the kingdom of God. Because the fruit that we're of Jesus Christ. It's not faith alone. It's not grace alone. That's a cultural churchianity lie. It's by grace through faith we're saved. And grace through faith always produces what, Brother Kevin?
Works.
Works. Fruit. Holiness, obedience, following after Christ with all that you are. That's my wife. If I told you I loved her and I was faithful to her, if you saw me slapping her around and kissing another woman, you know, if there was another woman somewhere, you'd say, you're a liar. You don't love your wife and you're an adulterer, you're cheating. So people say they believe in God, but they don't keep his word. They're liars and hypocrites. So consider that. And if you ever want help.
That's why I lost faith in the American church.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you should. You should do that. Don't put your faith there. Put your faith in Jesus Christ.
And I did.
Do you have a Bible?
No. I will not handle a Bible.
Well, how are you going to learn the Word of God?
I'll learn through people like you.
Oh, no. But you need the Word of God. Why wouldn't you have a Bible?
You do not need to hold a Bible to know what's good and what's right.
Well, let me just say, Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. That's my wife, Debbie, by the way.
How you doing?
We live by every word out of the mouth of God, so Matthew 4:4, and it's been recorded for us, Genesis to Revelation in the scriptures. So that word is good, pure, and true. And the Bible is our instruction manual, but it's not just a manual. It's living and it's alive, and it's by the Spirit. And it's how.
I cannot abide by that. That's living in a box.
Oh, well. It's God's word's not a box. It's a guide rail.
God's word is meant to be expanded.
No, that's why I would disagree. It's set in Hebrews 1, Paul said God used to speak through the prophets of old. Today he speaks through the word, and the word is sealed. After John the Revelator, the word was sealed. It says don't add to this book, don't take away from this book, and everything in there is waiting for the culmination.
But the book that exists has been processed through the Catholic Church.
Oh, no. No, that's where I would encourage you. I got articles on it. I'd encourage you to study more. The Catholic Church did not assemble the Bible. Let me explain to you the Council of Nicaea 325. The Catholic Church wasn't even in existence first. Constantine was a pre-Roman type Catholic, but it wasn't even established yet. All they did in the Nicene Council 325, all they did was come together. There was a few heresies they needed to put down, and they came together to agree on what were the established canon of Scripture. And they didn't get to say, I want this one just because my brother-in-law wrote it, put that one in there. And I like this one because it's my favorite book. There was criteria. And the books that got in the canon, first of all, the Septuagint, the Old Testament, no question about that. Even secular people look at the Septuagint, the Torah, and all the rest of the Old Testament writings and go, that's been sealed and in stone for thousands of years. Nobody debates what that is. So we have that. Then the New Testament comes along, and each book had to have the correct authorship, the correct timeline. And all of them were brought in and they testified to who wrote it, when was it written, and did those men that write it, were they witnesses of Christ? And so we have all the way from Matthew all the way through Revelation. It fits perfectly, and let me give you something that you can hang your knowledge hat on. You can believe in the New Testament scriptures that they're accurate. You know why? You ready?
Yeah.
The ancient manuscripts we have to back it up. Even secular scientists that study this will agree with what I'm about to tell you. The ancient manuscripts we have that back up the New Testament. That means copies. They didn't have Xerox machines back then. Copies of copies of copies of copies of copies throughout the ages.
Right. They used to have hundreds of
scribes. They can remanufacture the New Testament from 24,000 references and resources throughout time and build the New Testament. And all that's off is some punctuation, grammar here and there.
That's because some words didn't translate.
Yeah, hold on. Let me finish though. So we can rebuild the whole New Testament from the 24,000 ancient manuscripts. Now, look at the rest of man's history. You know what's the next closest book that has the next closest number of manuscripts? Have you studied this?
Probably the Encyclopedia. I have no idea.
It's a book called Homer's Iliad. It's a book of poetry. Do you know how many ancient manuscripts back up Homer's Iliad? 24,000 for the New Testament. Homer's Iliad, 700. Then all the rest of the old antiquity writings go downhill from there. Julius Caesar, you ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
12 ancient manuscripts back up his writings.
Yeah, and they still can't find his tomb.
So my point is, the New Testament, if you can't believe the New Testament, you can't believe nothing, not even close. But God's word is true. The archaeology keeps proving it true. Look at the times. Look at what it says in Revelation. There'll come a man. Let me give you a quick testimony. My son is about his age, not born again. My children were gone before I was born again. I used to party and drink with my kids. My son's about his age, older. And about 10 years ago, I would tell my son about a man that's going to come into the world. And a man's going to have power, popularity, he's going to answer world problems, and people are going to bow to him and say, please save us. And my son laughed at me 10 years ago. He said, Dad, that's crazy. There's no way no man on earth could ever do that. 10 years goes by. My son's not a born-again Christian, but he listens to the word of God. He knows it's true. He loves the world too much. He won't repent to come out of the world. You know who he's watching today? Elon Musk. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. He wants to put a microchip in your brain. He's surrounding the world with satellites for telecommunication. He wants to go into the outer space. And everybody's running to Elon Musk going, solve world hunger. The war's going on in Ukraine. Send your satellites to Ukraine. I'm not telling you he's the Antichrist. He's an Antichrist type. My son said to me not long ago.
He's an apostle too.
He's a false man. He's an Antichrist. He doesn't believe in Christ. My son said to me not too long ago, he said, Dad, he said, I see what you're saying. He said,
plus he has the power to manipulate false coinage.
Of course. He's behind crypto. As soon as they get crypto and cash is gone, they will enslave us all. They will.
Only one problem.
They will.
The true believers will avoid those at all costs.
We'll do what we have to do.
I will not be branded, chipped, or any other thing mandated by our government.
So my point is, he now sees where the world is, and he sees one man, and I said, he's an Antichrist type. He's not the Antichrist. He's a type. And he goes, I see it, Dad. And when COVID hit, I said, look, they're lining your kids up. They're scanning people's foreheads in Walmart for temperature. In the back of Walmart. If you work there, you line up at the beginning of your shift.
Yeah, they hit your eyes, actually.
Well, no, this temperature scan.
That hits here, but the temperature takers actually come.
Yeah, okay, whatever. But they hold it up to your forehead. They're talking about they're putting chips in, people are ready, they're doing all stuff. So the Bible is accurate and true, so I'd encourage you. You need to know it. You need to study it. If you're born of God, here's the challenge. If you're born of God, it will draw you to the Word of God. If you don't draw to the Word of God, you won't have guidance and truth how to live your life to please God. So ponder that, right?
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get my window down here. Because I wanted to show you the one thing that